Pasuk says, "Vayetar Yitzchak LaShem LeNoicher Eshtoi." Yitzchak davened to Hashem opposite his wife, "Ki Akorehi," because she was barren. "Vayosu LaHashem," Hashem answered him. Rashi tells us, "Vayetar," it's Loshen Hirbo, the Hifter B'Tfilah. He begged very much to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Rashi writes a bunch of Lashonis afterwards describing how much he was davening. It seems difficult why he would have to daven so much. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made our mothers barren in order, he was Nis'avel Tzvidosin Shal Tzadikim. He wanted to hear their tefillahs. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to hear their tefillahs, he had the tefillahs. Why does he have to make it, they have to daven so much, make it so difficult? The pshat is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sometimes answers yes, and sometimes when you daven, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says yes, but not today, tomorrow, next week. Sometimes your tefillah is answered, but it doesn't have to be today. We see in this week's parasha, Avraham died. And Chazal tell us, Avraham died 5 years earlier than he should have. Yitzchak lived till 180 years, and Avraham lived only till 175 years. Why did he die 5 years early? Because he shouldn't see Esav going off the derech. So that's why Avraham lost 5 years of his life. So if Yaakov and Esav would have been born 5 years later, what would have happened to Avraham? He would have lived 180 years. By him being born now, it caused Avraham to lose 5 years from his life. So by yet Yitzchak Hashem, Yitzchak davened, HaKadosh Baruch Hu heard his tefillahs, and he was going to give him children in 5 years. But since he davened and he begged so much, he got those children right away. Like he forced Hashem Kavod Yochel into it. So therefore, even though he got the answer he wanted, but not always is it so good what you wish for. You have to always do the right thing. It would have been better if it would have been delayed 5 years. And Yosef Chaim Zonneville says this pshat, he adds, Vayeose Eloi Hashem, Hashem answered him, is exactly the gematria of the words Chamish Shonim, 5 years. Hashem answered him, but it cost 5 years of Avram's life. Also in this pasuk, the floor points out something fascinating. Vayet Yitzchak Hashem l'noichach ishtoi. He davened opposite his wife. What's the pasuk tell us? Where he davened? Chilek, he davened there, he davened there. He's not davening with a minion. What's the difference where he davened? So why is it mentioned he davened opposite his wife? And then it says, he davened l'noichach ishtoi, opposite his wife. The end of the pasuk says, v'atar, doesn't say v'atar ishtoi. His wife became pregnant. It says, Vatar Rivke Ishtoi. The end of the pasuk mentions his wife's name. The beginning of the pasuk just says, L'Noichach Ishtoi. Why did it leave our name at the beginning of the pasuk and mention her name at the end of the pasuk? So the point of the office says like this. He says, the Gemara tells us that you don't have to daven. When you daven, you don't have to say the person's name. Because when Moshe davened for Miriam, he said, Keil no refer no lo. But the Magen Avraham says that is only when you're davening b'fonav, when you're davening in front of the chaylem. You have to mention the name. So now, Yitzchak, he wants to daven for his wife, he's got a problem. You daven, you have to say the name. But the problem is, what is her name? Rivka. But he saw Sarai, his mother, wasn't able to have children until she changed her name. Sarai can't have children, Sarah can have children. So now when Yitzchak's davening, he can't daven for Rivka, because maybe Rivka can't have children. Maybe she needs a change in her name. So what did he do? There's an answer. If you're davening with the person, you don't need the name. So Vayet Yitzchak Hashem, where did he daven? L'noichach Ishtoi. That's why he did daven opposite her. He's in front of her, he could daven without saying the name. But then V'yosla Hashem, Hashem asked him, Vatar Rivka Ishtoi. Rivka was able to have children. He didn't have to daven. In the beginning, there's no name mentioned because he couldn't daven for a name at all. But at the end of the pasuk, it tells me that Rivka was able to have children with that name. The pasuk says that Esav comes in. Haliteini no mina odom edomazeh. Give me this red stuff to eat. What did you see there? Sounds like it was beans and stuff. Probably a cholent he had. He saw a gishmak a cholent. He wants the cholent. What's this double loshen mina odoim ha odoim hazeh? So I saw him Shor Shvadron. He says that you see Avraham is called Avraham Avraham. And Rashi says, why does it say a double loshen? A loshen of chibah, a loshen of love, correct. It's chibah. So when he saw the cholent over here, he said, give me mina odoim ha odoim hazeh. It's a loshen of love. He loved his steak. He loved his food. He used a double lashon on it. Then the pasuk says, "Vayakim nosan the Esav lechem and his adoshim." Vayoichel he ate. Vayesh he drank in the kindergarten. I'm sure they taught you. Vayoichel vayesh he ate and he drank without a bracha. Vayakim he got up without benching. Right? They taught you in kindergarten. Vayelich he went on the lashon without kissing the mezuzah, without filas aderech. Vayivas Esav zapchera. He despised being a firstborn. We know he despised it. He sold it for a plate of soup. So obviously he despised it. So why does it say over the end of the parish again, he despised being a firstborn? So, over here, the Das Kanim writes over here, the Das Kanim about a Tosfos, he writes, a Yesod, which I'll just be masbrit to you, with a Moshe. Because you got a question. How could Yaakov buy being a firstborn for a plate of soup? He's ripping him off. It's worth more than that. It's like, you know, some Talmidim of mine were in Manhattan, and they thought Rolex watches for $30. They weren't Rolex watches. You know, they're copies from China, and they thought they're getting Rolex watches. The guy makes out he stole them. So, and you think they're getting. You're not allowed to do that. You can't trick somebody and make them think it's a Rolex watch and sell it to them. He's selling for $30. So there was the pshat over here that he rips him off. He buys him a plate of soup. What's the pshat? So pshat is there was a yid once who was on the subway, and Meister Shai, an African American, came over to him, and he says to him, "Hey, you want to buy this?" And he shows him a bag of tefillin. So he says, "Where did you get that from?" He says, "I bought it from somebody." Now, obviously, he didn't buy it from somebody. This bag of tefillin. He says, "How much do you want for it?" He says, $100. He says, "Let me see it." So he takes out the tefillin, and he puts on the shul yad, he puts on the shul rosh, and he says, "One second, where's the one for the right hand? I got the left hand one, I got the head one, the right hand one's missing." He says, I don't know. He says, "It's not a full set. It's a faulty set. It's not worth anything." So he says, "No, I'll give you $5 for it." So he says, "Okay," he gives him $5 and he gets it. He ripped him off. What's the pshat? So Dias Kanim says over here, that Rabbi Yehuda Chosid learns from here, one's allowed to trick a Rasha to get a Sefer Torah from him, to get a Davar Kedusha B'Kedusha mitzvah from him. You're allowed to rip off somebody. If he doesn't, if he's got a Davar B'Kedusha, you can trick him to get it away from him, from a Rasha. The Sephorna says, the reason why it says over here, Vayivaz Esav Zabchaira, is to show you he was mevazeh after eating it. The fact he was mevazeh after eating, it shows you he wasn't over, I know. He didn't trick him at all. It has no value even after his fall to it. It has no value to him. The fact is, mevazit now. Beforehand, you can say he was starving, he had no choice. But now, after his fall, that's why he repeats it. He still was mevazit now, and therefore, it shows it had no value to Esav. So he wasn't ripping him off. There's another shot you could learn like this. Moshul Amar Dov Adayma. That, I heard this once from Rabbi Friend, that at that good a convention, you get some very wealthy Eden there, and there are bonim also there, speakers there. So these wealthy people who daven by these choshe rabbonim, they want to be mechabed their rov to get an aliyah. So they sell their aliyahs, and they go for big money there. Wealthy people bid against each other, 1,500, 2,000, 2,500, and goes for nice money. Because in front of everybody, 2,000 people there, and you're mechabed your rov. Chash for the Rav, chash for you. So there were two people bidding against each other. One of us, 2,000, 2,000, 2,000. One of them dropped down. Now the one who dropped down, "What, you think I can't afford it?" He felt a little, he needs to save face. So he says, "What, you think I couldn't do it? You think I couldn't buy it for my Rav? You know why I didn't buy it? Because my Rav would be angry if I spent so much. I could have bought it. I would have bought it for my Rav. But I knew he wouldn't want me to spend so much. So to cover my Rav, I didn't buy it." That's called sour grapes. You lost, but you can't accept that. Sometimes in life, people lose, but they can't take it that they lost. So they'll find some way of covering up their sour grapes. Over here, Esav sold being a bechor for a plate of soup. And he feels pretty stupid now. He could have got more for it. So afterwards, he doesn't want to feel stupid. So by Yivaz Esav's a bechor. After he sold it, he's mevazed again. It's not worth anything. Waste of time. He wants to show that he didn't He didn't sell it too cheap. It's really not worth anything. He wanted to save face. There's a Hasidic Shavuot like this. Yaakov, Rivka tells Yaakov. Sorry, Rivka tells Rivka. Rivka tells Yitzchak. I don't want Yaakov marrying Bibnois Ches. Kasti Bachayai Bibne Bnois Ches. I'm despised by the Bnois Ches. He shouldn't marry one of them. So one of the Rebbe said that when a person marries, there's types of wives who encourage their husband to learn. They encourage them, they're proud of them when they sit and they learn, because Beis Medrash. And there's other ones who pull their husbands away from learning. Let's go out, let's do this, let's do that. So he says, somebody who supports, a wife that supports and encourages to learn, is called Machzike Torah. She supports him, she wants him to learn Torah. The one who stops him is called Mazike Torah. They're damaging, they're stopping the learning. So what's happening? There's a ches missing. Kasti Bechayai. I despise the noise ches. Those women of ches who take the ches away, instead of being Machzike Torah, they're Mazike Torah. And what happens? Those women, the noise ches, they have, instead of that ches being in Machzike Torah, those noshim, they get take the ches from themselves. And noshim become nechoshim. They take the ches and they become nechoshim instead. There's an unbelievable vort, but concentrate. This is mamish, something very, very special, which the Bava Rebbe said in London in Tafshin Yotes. I think it might be in his sefer, Kerem Shleima. Listen carefully, it's unbelievable. It said, Pasuk says, Yaakov came in to get the bracha. Vayorach esrech begodav. Vayavorecheu. He smelled his clothing and gave him a bracha. Re'ei reich b'ni kerech asodim. Rashi says, what does he mean, kerech asodim? Hashem gave shenoson b'reach toiv. Vezeus dey tapuchim. He smelt of an apple orchard. What does it mean of he smelt of an apple orchard? That was a nice smell he had. So the Bava Rebbe quotes his grandfather, the Zeda, the Divrei Chaim, the sons are off. And the Divrei Chaim asked like this. The next pasuk says, "Vagib l'chalekim, Hashem should give you mitala shemayim from bishmane oriz, from the dew of heaven, from the fat of the land." 10 psukim later, Esav comes in and he gives Esav a bracha. Esav's bracha is very similar. Just switches the words around. Instead of saying Tala Shemayim Mishmani Oretz, there it says Mishmani Oretz Yir Meshavecho Umital HaShemayim Me'ol. There it says first Shemani Oretz and then Tala Shemayim. By Yaakov it says Tala Shemayim, then Mishmani Oretz. Why does it change? Says his Zayd, the sons are off, that by a Yid, by Yaakov a Yid, first he gets Siyad Deshmaya, Tala Shemayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives him Siyad Deshmaya. Then, Mishmani Oretz, he has to do his part. By Goyim, it's the other way around. By Goyim, first has to be Mishmani Oretz. First you have to do yours, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give Tala Shemayim. Then you'll get Siyad Deshmaya. So he said, you'll say it's not fair. Why do Yidin we get Siyad Deshmaya first, and by the Goyim they don't? So the answer is very simple. What happened to Matan Torah? The Goyim said, Maksiv bo. What's written in it? The Yidin said, Na'asav Nishma. The Yidin were ready to sign a blank check. We don't know what you want from us. Whatever you want, we'll do it for you. The Goyim said, no, we want to see first. We don't trust you. So since the Goyim didn't trust, Midah K'neged Midah, Kshbrochu doesn't trust them. First they have to do theirs, Mishmane Oretz, then Hashem gives them Siyav Dishmaya. We trusted HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So since we trusted HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu trusts us. First Tala Shemayim, and then Mishman Oretz. We get the Siyat Shemayim first. That's the Divrei Chaim's vod. Says the Bava Rebbe, Yaakov came in, and he saw, he smelled the smell of the field. Which field? Stei Tapuchim, an apple orchard. What does it mean, an apple orchard? The Gemara in Shabbos says, that Ketapuach Batayor, the Pasuk says in Shir Shirim, the Klai Yisrael compared like an apple tree in the forest. Why are Klai Yisrael compared to an apple tree? Just like an apple tree, the fruit grows before the leaves, So too, says the Gemara in Shabbos, Klal Yisrael said the Naaseh before the Nishma. That's why we're compared to apple trees. So an apple tree symbolizes Klal Yisrael saying Naaseh v'Nishma. Yaakov came in, and Yitzchak smelt an apple orchard. What does it mean he smelt an apple orchard? He smelt what the apple orchard represents. He smelt the Klal Yisrael going to say a Naaseh v'Nishma. Oh, you're going to say a Naaseh v'Nishma. You're going to sign the Rosh Hashanah blank check. Next person. HaKadosh Baruch is going to give you Siyata Dishmaya, then you have to do yours. You deserve to get the Siyata Dishmaya right away. The Pasuk says that Esav said, "Hinni anoichi hoyrach lomos. I am going to die. Lomali, what do I need the Bechorah for?" It's very interesting because you would think death is something that when a person has the Yetzirah, Chazal say, what should you do? The last thing there is to do, the final thing to say to fight the Yetzirah is, Maski Yom Amisa. Yom Amisa is something that encourages people to do tshuva. A person knows he's dying, they repent. And it says everybody should look at their day. This is the last day before they die, because that makes a person do tshuvah. Shuv yom achas kodim isoscha. So what's the pshat? I'm going to die, so what do I need it for? That's the reason why you need it, because you're going to die. So you see from this that in life, we have messages in life. I'd appreciate if you stop messing around there. In life, I'll explain afterwards. In life, we are sent messages, but we have to make sure we get the right message. For instance, there were two hippies standing by the road, and a guy's driving his truck past, and he sees they're holding signs. One says, the end is near, and the other sign says, be careful, the end is coming. And he just waves his fist outside, religious fanatics. And he drives straight past them. And all of a sudden, these hippies hear, bang, crash, splash. One says to the other, next time maybe we should write bridge down. That in life, we get messages. We have to be able to read the message and get the right message. In Ben Yoyoda, Ben Ishchai writes, a moshon, the Flamed Aleph in Shabbos, there was a prince who came on a state visit to a town. And they made a state dinner for him. And he sits down to eat. They said, there's a beforehand, they have a little play. There's a minig, they have a play there. And they did this play of a mock funeral. And he's wondering why they do this at every state dinner that before they have this dinner of a mock funeral. So what's the pshat? So he said, pshat is that it's to tell you, you're not in this world for so long. So when you hear chaparai, as the Pasuk Yeshaya says, eat, drink, and be merry. For tomorrow you may die. Some say diet. But you got a chaparai while you're here. Some people think, that's our Rishonim talk, chaparai now while you can. On the other hand, a person can see death and realize, I better do tshuva, what's going to be? So you can take death, or can use it two ways. And Esav, he took the message the wrong way. In the Hoylech Lomos, I'm going to die. I don't need this at all. It's very important in life to make sure you take the message the right way. Shabbos.